Hello, everyone, and welcome to your monthly Coach Ed conversation with me, Richard Reid, and my wonderful co-host, Dan Steele. Dan, how are things with you today?
Crisp, chilly, but wonderful, Richard. What about yourself?
Fantastic. Well, it's Northern Ireland and it's almost a summer, so it's crisp and chilly with us as well. So it's good to connect on that initial level. Good stuff. Well, listen, really looking forward to today's conversation. If this is your first time, folks, tuning in with us, you're very welcome. It's good to have you. If you've joined with us before in some of our previous episodes, you're very welcome back. In this episode today, Dan and I will use our familiar structure of three specific questions. So what have we noticed? Why is it important? And what has become clearer? We're going to use these three questions to help us wrestle with a specific coaching challenge. So Dan, tell us, what are we going to wrestle with today?
Oh, Richard Reid, we are here to talk about when someone is really stuck in a conversation. When they're really stuck.
Fantastic. People are definitely going to be listening now, Dan, because that's a common problem. So tell us, in your experience recently, what have you noticed in relation to coaches getting stuck in a coaching conversation?
Yeah, it's I have to really reference the wonderful Chris Munro here, because he often talks about the pool of options. So I feel like that has been a really helpful mental model or tool that I guess I've been bringing within the coaching. So I guess it's, if we think of the, when someone's really stuck. So recently I had someone talking through, so there's two examples, Richard. There's one where there was a principal that I was working with who was really stuck and had never faced the situation before and was genuinely saying, I don't know, can you tell me, like in your work as a school leader, can you tell me what you would do? Now, that is both wonderful and terrible to hear at the same time, isn't it? Because there's that seductive pull where you just think, brilliant. All right, here we go. Let's open the gates and just tell people exactly what to do. You know, and I love Michael Bungay Stanier's, you know, really famous advice monster, and the fact, you know, that our advice isn't as good as we think it is. But there's always a seductive pull to want to do that. So what I've learned from Chris Munro when it comes to the pool of options is I can talk through if they've never had a similar experience or experienced success in similar ways, or they've also seen non-examples. If I can't tap into anything that they've personally gone through, I then step back to consider some other options as well. And I guess part of that, this is the one that I've been really fascinated by, that I've been playing with and experimenting with, which is if I take the time to understand the person's role models or people that they look up to or people around them, that is a really helpful option to explore their experiences, what they think their role model might do, what they think their role model might tell them. And that's just enough of a pull and a stopper to prevent me, as the final option, of being able to share some different options. Now, that's when I'm working with the principal. You know, because we're trying to bring that facilitative area where we don't have to necessarily bring our expertise in the conversation. So I just love this idea of, if I really know someone's role models and I can use the person's name. So at the very start, when I'm creating that rapport and getting to know this person, we do a background survey. We find out about them in my first conversation. I find out about, you know, their role models, what they do, like even some of the phrases that their role models say when they challenge them or support them. So when it works well, I find that out. And if needed, I can roll out one of those phrases. And I love when I see a leader, they give me a wry smile because they know what I've done. Like, ah, you're using that thing that I gave you to help me in the conversation right now. But it still helps their thinking. And there's enough of stopping me from that, you know, succumbing to that seductive pull to give them the advice and just tell them some of my thinking around it. So it's enough to eliminate me when they're really stuck. So the role models has been a really helpful one. And then just yesterday, I was running an impact cycle workshop at a school in a really low socioeconomic suburb. And I had a teacher, we're doing some coaching demonstrations. And so in instructional coaching, we're really talking about dialogical coaching. So, you know, I have expertise, I might bring it, but I have to do it in a, you know, you have to be tactful. You don't always just have to raise it if the person's actually got some knowledge of strategies. So this teacher and I, we were doing a bit of a practice and we were going through this conversation, and they were actually getting videoed. while we were doing this. So they were going through it. And they said at one point, I just don't know what to do with this class. I'm completely tapped out. We then tried, you know, like, have you faced a similar time or have you seen some non-examples of something that you definitely wouldn't do? So what would you do instead? No, they couldn't answer it. They were really genuinely stuck. And one of the other staff that were observing jumped in and said, if I was sitting here and I was telling you all of those things and describing that class, you know, what would you tell me? Like, what would be the first thing? And then suddenly they listed four different things that you could try. And then this observer jumped in and said, have you tried out of those four options? Have you tried any of them? And they said, no. And so that was enough where they'd seemed really stuck. But the person flipped it and just said, if it was me describing, and they showed great skills because they summarized and showed they'd been listening, and they summarized what this person described for their class. If I was describing this to you, what advice would you give me? So I guess it was utilizing that seductive pull of wanting to give advice, but you end up giving it to yourself, but in a way where it feels like you're not doing it because, you know, there's so many blind spots. But that's what I found, that idea of role models, being really clear role models, and then also that idea of we can flip things around so we can actually ask them for advice they'd give themselves if we've listened really clearly.
Yeah. I love that phrase, and you used it a number of times there, Dan, that idea of seductive pull. And there is that temptation when we get to those points in the coaching conversation. So for people listening in, why is it important for them to think about that? And I mean, as coaches, we think about 101 things all the time in a coaching conversation, whether it's a 5 minute, have you got 5 minutes, or whether it's an hour scheduled coaching conversation, we're thinking about a lot of things. Why is it so important to be so aware of that seductive pull?
Well, I think it goes to two words that I've recently been saying that are very easy to say, but I think take a long time to make change, which is building capacity. So if we're genuinely trying, they're very two easy words that roll off our tongue, but they take a long time. So if we genuinely do care about building capacity, we need to reduce the dependence on us being the ones with the answers. We're not the font of all knowledge. We do have knowledge. We have a huge amount of knowledge and expertise, but that's not necessarily our role. Our role is to help them do the thinking because they're the expert in their world, their team, their classroom, their setting. So why does it matter? I think it's because once we always make it the default to come back to us to share the experience, well, we're not actually allowing them to, I don't think, fully build their capacity, or I'd even say to discover their capacity. So, you know, maybe it is less around the building capacity, more about discovering their actual capacity. And if we give them the opportunity to do that productive struggle, to think, they're fully supported by us in all the ways that we show up. We share, you know, some options if needed, but it's ultimately about us making sure that we're trying to build them up. So then we sort of become redundant, Richard, which sounds terrible to say, but that's sort of the long-term aim, isn't it?
Yes. I like that. I love that. I love your change there, not necessarily change, but a subtle change in wording where you talked about building capacity. And I think you're right. You're absolutely on the button there, building capacity with the other person, helping them do the thinking, but shifting it over to that subtle shift to discover their capacity. You know, there's almost an even more, I'm just thinking out loud, an even more satisfying thing for the coachee to have not had necessarily just their capacity built, but for them to discover their capacity through your questioning, through your noticing, through your feedback. So I think that's really interesting. So what's become clearer for you? So in your coaching conversations from tomorrow on, what's become clearer for you around those moments when somebody's going to get stuck, inevitably stuck?
Yeah. What's become clear is you don't really need to bring yourself. There's so many other options and questions that you can ask if we're willing to slow ourselves down and remember that. So we remind ourselves, I literally say in my head, like, there's a lot of other options you can ask, first of all. So being able to tap into that. And if needed, you can ask multiple questions too. So if they don't have similar experiences, if they don't have a role, like, you can still, there's a series of questions. And because the more we ask these questions and have these conversations, there's a confidence when they say, no, I'm not sure. No, I still feel stuck. That's okay. Well, I can try some different questions. Let me try something that can help you. I can't help but do this. It's like a cascading effect that you have for the different questions that you bring out. So what's become clearer is that there's so many options that we can ask before we ever have to be the person doling out any sort of advice as a coach.
Very, very helpful. I love that phrase because I've written it down. If we are willing to slow ourselves down, because sometimes there's that temptation that it links in with a seductive pull. If we are willing to slow ourselves down, that's going to be so helpful for the other individual. So that's been really helpful for me, Dan. Thank you so much for sharing those thoughts. Fantastic.
That's okay. Richard Reid, you've got such a talent for the summarizing and grabbing the key words and then sending them back to people. It's a genuine privilege hearing this. I sit there and I'm like, did I say that? Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you. But what about yourself? So what are you noticing? Talk to us about what you've been noticing when it comes to when people are really stuck.
I will do. And just prior to that, thanks for the compliment. But I'm noticing those words and quite often borrowing them from myself at a later stage. So I'll have to be open and honest. I write down lots of things and, you know, all good teachers borrow ideas from other people. Isn't that right, Dan? Okay, so as far as I'm concerned, yes. When it comes to this topic of people getting stuck, and I'm very grateful for your initial thoughts because that's been very, very helpful for me. But I think sometimes, and I'm speaking to specific people out there, initially myself at a stage, maybe a number of years ago as a beginning coach, there's a risk, I think, for those new to coaching, maybe somebody who's trained recently or not that long ago and they're dipping their toe in the water, they're getting some hours under their belt. There's a risk sometimes of taking the ask, don't tell idea a little too far. So let me share an example, which I overheard, not intentionally, but I overheard. But maybe three years ago, was going to meet a colleague at a hotel just in the big lobby area for a meeting mid-morning, and I was unusually slightly early. I think the previous meeting had wrapped up quite sooner than it should have. So I had about 20, 25 minutes before this person was going to arrive in. And shortly after that, there was a group of maybe 15 or 20 people arrived into this foyer from upstairs in some of the meeting rooms. And it seemed they were obviously a group together. I thought maybe they're on a training day. Thought nothing else of it. And I was sitting over one of these lovely big settees. And they got themselves into pairs and they sat themselves around vacant seats. And I thought, oh, they're doing some sort of an activity. I wonder what this is. And sure enough, two came and sat right behind me. So they obviously weren't worried about being, you know, overly confidential or, you know, anywhere about that. They knew there were other people in the room. It was a public space. And it became apparent very quickly. This was a coaching conversation. And I thought, oh my word, this is interesting. Now, I was trying not to eavesdrop, but they were literally right behind me for this period. And it became quite clear at the start, this girl said, okay, so we're going to have a coaching conversation and I want you to share, you know, something that's challenging. She went through the contracting and I thought this is really interesting. She said, we're going to have about 20 minutes. And the conversation started, off they went. And this girl shared the challenge that she had at the moment and she wanted to try and work through this. And it seemed to be going reasonably well for the first 3 or 4 minutes until the girl who was doing the coaching kept repeating the same question again and again. And she got really stuck on what would good look like? If this all panned out properly, what would you notice? If things turn around and fix themselves, and I'm mad libbing here, but she was essentially going over the same thing again, what would good look like? And to be honest with you, the other girl didn't know what good would look like. But she repeated it so many times, it came to a point about 7 or 8 minutes in when the coachee said, do you know something? I'm not really enjoying this coaching conversation. And I thought, oh my word, what an awful thing for a coach to hear. Somebody actually saying, I'm not enjoying this coaching conversation. So the coach, fair play to her, she did her best. She tried to, you know, wrap things up and realized, you know, something, she'd sort of maybe burnt the bridges and it hadn't worked quite well. So she thought, and I just need to exit here, you know, really quickly without doing any more damage and wrap things up. So after about maybe 10 or 11 minutes of the 20, they had the conversation wrapped up and up they went to go to, I think, another room. There was another activity. It was like a round robin activity. So what I learned from that conversation, but there is a real risk maybe if you're just into the game of coaching, just to really push the ask, don't tell idea a wee bit too far.
Yeah, that's such an interesting thing when we talk about when you are new to this or as you're exploring a new skill, there's a real pull to hold onto it super tight. So tightly that we're not willing to sort of let go and we feel like, but I have to really stick to this. So I guess what's the further impact that you see where if we are just continually asking, don't tell, like what are some other impacts that you can see on the coach or the coachee from that?
It's fascinating. Now, I had my back to them. I would love to have been watching and actually see, you know, body language and facial expressions and various things there, because I think that would tell a tale. But unfortunately, it wasn't. So I was listening to the conversation, but you can still tell a certain amount when you're listening. I think one thing that struck me was being intentionally flexible. Flexibility came to my mind that day, which obviously this other person, through maybe lack of experience, was showing a certain amount of inflexibility. Being flexible in your conversation stance, I like that word, stance, it honours the partnership and coaching because you're there in partnership with this other person. You know, coaching's not about withholding ideas at all costs. You know, that's not what we're about. It's about supporting, and you mentioned this at the start, Dan, supporting thinking and progress. Now, sometimes the most supportive move, if somebody's completely stuck, is to maybe offer a perspective that helps the coachee in many ways see their situation maybe a little bit differently. I think it helps in certain circumstances. It helps maintain momentum in a coaching conversation, because if you look at the opposite, if we don't do that, and if we allow it, because it's still a structured conversation, you know, we're in control of the conversation as a coach. If we allow a situation to run just a wee bit too far and a coachee feels stuck for a little bit too long, then ultimately you talk about impact, confidence is going to dip.
Yes.
In that individual. Energy is going to drain a wee bit from the conversation because we want to keep the energy, you know, high. We want to keep it positive. Ultimately, progress then can stall. So in that situation, the one that the example I gave, you know, maybe a gentle nudge, you know, offered thoughtfully. And I think this is really important, which I always try to maintain to do and remember to do with the coachee's permission, I think then can spark new thinking, maybe introduce, you know, possibility. So it's about trying to restore that forward movement in the conversation. And as coaches, I think we actually need to model, I'll go back to that word, flexibility, you know, responsiveness, you know, staying attentive to what the coachee needs. And that's the noticing part. So being able to adjust, there's that word again, stance accordingly. You know, we can't risk, and here's a phrase that I do like to use, we can't risk being a slave to the model. And that's in the extreme, being a slave to the model. You know, it's important to make the distinction that this is not about giving answers. And we're not talking about giving answers. It's about offering possibilities.
Yeah, I love that. And I think I'm going to do a Richard Reid effort here. So I think the two big things that jumped out, so about intentionally flexible stance, so you're choosing to be intentionally flexible, and that idea of slave to the model, that's really similar to Christian van Nieuwenberg talks about the ever-lying tension between the relationship and the process. You know, that idea of we're always trying to balance, we don't lean too far to one to the other. But Richard Reid, all the listeners out there are probably thinking this, so I hope I'm asking the right question on their behalf. Bringing your intentionally flexible stance, what was the question or questions that, as you just happened to be hearing this conversation, what would you have asked in that moment to be flexible and adapt?
I think keeping that continuum in your head is the first thing you need to do. And I love the phrase when at GCA when we're talking about, you know, the learning conversation continuum, we talk about, does there need to be more of me or less of me in the conversation? And I think that's really important to keep that in your head at all times in a coaching conversation. Does there need to be more of me or less of me? So those lovely scenarios and examples you shared, Dan, where there's going to be, you know, less of you, more of them, with the questions that you ask, and you know, there's different options. You talked about role models, and doing that background checking and research is so, so important. Where there is a scenario where they are genuinely completely stuck, you're thinking to yourself, okay, first and foremost, it's asking permission. Can you share a couple of thoughts? I think that is vitally important. We talked at the start, one of the other episodes, about building rapport. Okay. And I think before you offer any ideas or thoughts or insights in any shape or form from your own experience, you need to ask that permission. So seeking permission before offering ideas. So you ask about questions. So specific questions. Would it be helpful if I shared some observations? Okay, so that's in a scenario where somebody has genuinely, and they're saying to you in black and white, I am stuck. Okay, and you've gone through all those different options and we're still in that position. I've been in that position. So asking permission, would it be helpful if I shared some observations, or you know, can I offer some thoughts for you to consider? You might throw in, you know, I have an idea that maybe might spark something. Would you like to hear it? Now, I do genuinely believe that by asking permission to ask some of those questions, I still think it keeps the coachee in control of the conversation, because there's still choice there. 99% of the time they're going to say yes, you know, give us some food for thought. Brilliant. So I'm genuinely going to be even more intentional about that, where somebody becomes really, really stuck, inviting reflection, but on the back of one or two thoughts that I've shared with them with their permission. Okay, so I'm still trying to make sure I invite them to explore the situation, get a bit of clarity around things, encourage reflection, really important, you know, asking questions like, you know, how might that fit in your context? That's so important. Because if I share a scenario within my experience, that's in my context. So I need to make it really clear. So I say, Dan, listen, I've shared a couple of thoughts here. How might that fit in your context? Is there something within that that could be useful for you in your situation? So you're asking them to reflect. So basically, we need to be conscious of the fact that sometimes, and I underline sometimes, highlight it in bold, et cetera, et cetera. Sometimes the most helpful thing a coach can do when the coachee is stuck is not always ask another question, but offer some possibilities, some thoughts, some insights, but gently and transparently, and most importantly, with permission. So moving up and down that continuum, being aware of it, you know, more of me or less of me, but moving along it in a thoughtful way, you know, intentionally. And again, I go back to that word, with permission. What are your thoughts?
And I think listening to you, I mean, coaches think so carefully about language, and to take from Hey Sun Moon, you know, she talks about, she learned from her mum languaging, that the words that we choose can affect how people then see things. So, you know, every question's loaded. So the word that you kept using before was about perspective. So you're not sharing, you didn't say, I've got the answers, or here are some answers. You were saying, can I offer some observations? Can I offer some perspectives, some different perspectives? So just enough that you're using a different word so that they're not thinking you're just giving them the solution.
I love that.
But given all that, Richard, like thinking as you've talked that out, you've noticed and you've been privy to some different coaching conversations, and especially when they haven't gone well, like that happens sometimes too. And I mean, that's all part of the experience. What's becoming clearer that you're going to take forward from here?
I'm going to take a couple of things from what you've said, Dan, because that tension between offering ideas and going down the route where, I loved your phrase where there's a hope to your statement, and I'm going to listen to this back because I think it's really important. There's always one or two other questions you could ask. I think there's a real challenge in that for me and for any coaches who are listening. There's always one or two other questions you can ask or things you can do before you offer that insight or that perspective. And again, doing that well-intentioned, you know, and hoping that it inspires some thinking. But prior to that, this is your challenge to me, that the next time somebody is really, really stuck, to go that one little step further and thinking, is there one other thing I can pull out of this just before I offer some extra advice? So I find that super helpful. What about you?
Yeah, I think listening to all that you've said, there's a power in, I really got stuck thinking about the word perspective, or it made me think of the word insights. You know, like when we think about, really one of our jobs is to enable different insights. So different perspectives, different observations, different insights. I think playing around with those words and how they sit in some of the questions, and just then noticing how it makes someone respond. I think that's a really great thing. A bit of the opportunity to play and experiment with how those land for people, to then keep adding to my toolkit. So no, I appreciate that. It's so helpful every time we talk these through. I know it's great for all you wonderful listeners out there, but selfishly, it's also great to learn from the great Richard Reen too.
It's reciprocal. And I mean, I do, every time we do these episodes, Dan, you know, it's useful for me to think through different things as it is for anybody. But then we have a conversation and your ideas really do spark off thoughts in my thinking. So I'm heading away today, you know, with a number of really useful things for the next coaching conversation that I have. So very much appreciating that. Dan, thanks once again for your thoughts on what is actually a tricky topic. There's no two ways about it. I've certainly found it very helpful. I've made a number of notes here, which I'm going to carry into the next conversation, all being well. So thank you for that. If you folks are listening or watching, Dan and I both hope you have found it useful too. I'm sure you have. If there are topics, and this is important, that we maybe haven't covered so far, I know we're only 5 or 6 episodes in, and you'd like us to consider them, you know, do please get in touch with us. We would love to hear from you. But for now, and until our next episode, keep coaching, and we will see you on the next episode of Coach Ed Conversations.